We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Dave Cabin, one of the owners at RotoViz. In this episode, we are going to be talking about positional rank finishes on a point per game basis versus positional ADP from FFPC leagues heading into the 2022 season. As you have probably gathered from the poor audio quality, I am traveling this week and without the nice setup I have at home, so we're gonna have some poor audio quality. We are not gonna have any sound drops, but we will get through this. I'm recording this on May 10th. Curtis and I will be getting together tomorrow night, May 11th, with an episode to come out on Friday. So, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking back some at 2022 this year. And the reason that I think this is useful is as we start getting into our best ball and redraft league contexts this year, thinking about how ADP performed last year, thinking about some of the players it missed on, any reason it might have missed on those players, and just kind of re-baselining ourselves to some extent with how ADP is able to do at predicting where a player will finish in the confines of their position. We have looked at this before on the site. ADP is fairly efficient in comparison to some other ways, perhaps, that you could go about segmenting or sorting, filtering players as you head into the season. So the way that I pull together the data that we're looking at here, very simple, just grab 2022 FFPC one quarterback league ADP, and then for each player, calculated their PPR points per game that they scored in 2022. Now, the first thing that I did was calculate the R-squared, which is a measure of correlation between a player's positional ADP heading into 2022 and where they finished from a PPR point per game perspective. I'm going to pose a question to you, listener. Which position do you think drafters did the best job with, and where do you think we see the lowest correlation between positional ADP and point per game finish? Think about that for a second, because I think that it is important as you start thinking about draft strategies. So when I actually calculate that, and I look at top 24 quarterbacks, we will see that in comparison to the other positions, the relationship between preseason ADP, PPG, points per game rank, is pretty weak, comes in at just 0.13. Whereas the rest of the positions all perform fairly similarly. If we look at the top 36 running backs, we get an R-squared of 0.365. Top 48 wide receivers, 0.341. Top 18 tight ends, 0.363. So drafters did a decently similar job with running back, wide receiver, and tight end, but struggled with quarterback. Now, one of the things that you can have happen here is you can have a couple of players that tend to really move the needle if they are way off. But we're not weighting things here in a way that if a player was one of the top at his position, it really missed, that factors in more. This is just simply looking in totality at how drafters did with sorting players by ADP versus where they finished. Now, if we look at quarterback, the biggest miss last year was Trey Lance, who came in with a preseason ADP of a QB12, finishes with a positional rank of 55. Of course, he's kind of an edge case there with the injury, but definitely an interesting case in that this was a pick, I think, where people were looking to kind of swing for the fences to some degree, trying to realize that upside. But we have extenuating circumstances there. So we remove him from the equation. Other players that drafters really missed on were Matthew Stafford, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, Zach Wilson. Those were the players with the largest deltas. So Justin Herbert was going with an ADP of quarterback 2, finishes with a positional rank of 17. And if we drill into Herbert's season a little bit, one of the first things that you'll see here is it wasn't really that terrible, though he finished as QB, what did we say here? He finished as QB 17 in the context that I'm looking at. He was still number 2 in attempts, number 2 in completion percentage, number 2 in passing yards, 8 in passing touchdowns. He just suffers due to not having the rushing upside of some of these other players, but was a QB1 in 53% of weeks. If we think, though, about what he did in 2021, it was a little bit different. He was a QB1 in 65% of weeks. But I think this is a case where if you took Herbert 2, or if you were viewing him as the second-best quarterback, even with the result, didn't drastically destroy your season, given that he was going number 46 overall. You do have best ball leagues factoring into this number, and we know that last year quarterbacks were going pretty high in best ball leagues, and they are really going high in best ball leagues this year. And we would see why when we look at guys like Mahomes, who went 3, finished 2, Jackson went 4, finished 5, Murray went 5. Wow, Kyler Murray went 5, actually finished in at QB9. I'm getting a little off topic here, but I want to drill into Murray here just quickly. Looking at, he was a QB1 73% of the time, with the injury he suffered toward the end of the year and how that kind of murkies the waters for 2023. That might be easy to lose sight of, but that actually doesn't even line up with what my memory of him closing out the year was. I did not realize he finished quite as strongly as he did. He was only 23 in passing touchdowns. Of course, if we look at how he did as a rusher in 2022, we'll see that he only added 418 yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. So Murray, he was all 7 in EP per game among quarterbacks. I digress here. If we look back, we continue to see like Joe Burrow had an ADP of 6th, finished 4th. And then Jalen Hurts, who at least in what I'm looking at here, finished as 1. I think if you change a couple of settings, you might see him finishing at 2. He had an ADP of 7. Other players that were missed on, Matthew Stafford went at 10, finishes with a 31 rank in points per game. Of course, we had a couple of issues there. Most notably, Cooper Kupp suffering an injury that really put him out more or less after week 9. So you have Stafford going nearly half the year without him. If we look at how Stafford was performing prior to that, and then, of course, you also have Stafford getting injured in the back half of the year, but he actually was not playing very well. Between weeks 1 and 11 when he played, only had one QB one week. In fact, was just really ugly in the first four games of the season. Went 10.2 against Buffalo, 21.6 against Atlanta, just 12.7 against Arizona, just 11.3 against San Francisco. So you could try to look at some things. I think Van Jefferson also missed significant time to try to explain this away. But no, this is just one where ADP got it wrong. In terms of players that really outplayed where they were selected, you do have Justin Fields finishing at 6 versus being drafted as QB16. Trevor Lawrence finishing at 7th versus being drafted as QB18. And the final player probably worth calling out here is Russell Wilson going at 8, finishing at 21. Drafters buying into that idea of getting a boost from landing in Denver, which we all know didn't work out. If you ask me if I think that things are going to be different this year with the change in coaching staff, I would not be holding my breath. And at this point in what I'm seeing in drafts too, it does not look like there is a significant correction by drafters. He's probably going to finish somewhere around, or he's probably going to be selected somewhere around where his points per game finish was last year. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him going between 17 to 22, somewhere in that range. So that kind of covers what we saw with quarterbacks. Again, quarterback was the position that drafters struggled the most with in 2022. Do not see a strong correlation, even in this context, between where the top 24 quarterbacks were being selected and where they finished.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If we look at running back, the thing that's going to stand out is how unfortunate was for Jonathan Taylor. He was going as the first running back off the board. Finishes at 16 from a positional rank, but the problem here is that he was going 1.17 overall. So though he did manage to finish as a stronger RB2, you used a first round pick on him and you just did not get what you were expecting, hoping you would. I know a lot of people would view it almost as a disaster despite that finish. Just to put a little bit more context here as to what happened, in terms of rushing attempts, he was only 24th among running backs, was only 22 among yards, 26th in targets. His expected points per game or an 8, which would have been good, but just supremely inefficient, coming in at 135 in fantasy points over expectation per game. Now, he finished number 2 in that metric in 2021 and was number 9 in 2020. What we see in the context of this Colts offense last year is, without being efficient, he just was not able to keep it up. Was an RB1 in just 36% of games. Pretty safe to say that he was one of the biggest misses at the position. CMC was selected 2, finished 2. Eckler 3, finished 1. Derrick Henry 4, finished 4. So other players at the top managed to approximate what you were getting. Then we get to Najee Harris, who had a disparity of 15. He's going at RB5, finishes at RB20. Other notable misses, you have DeAndre Swift, who, man, his trajectory has just been down and down and down. You know, you could try to make the case for DeAndre Swift now, but if you're looking back retrospectively, just a player that has never been able to put things together in sustainable fashion to get him to where we would want him to be stepping into Philadelphia this year. Curtis and I will talk at some point about what we think that means, but last year, one of the misses. Then Javonte Williams gets hurt early on, another miss. Beyond that, though, in the top 20 or the top 16 or so players, we don't see many other guys with large deltas. Man, James Conner goes RB15, manages to finish RB10. Travis Etienne, 16 versus 24. Breece Hall, unfortunate that he had to finish the year early, but actually was outplaying his ADP by 10 spots at RB7. Cam Akers, another big miss, 26 off, 18 versus 44. Of course, we also have J.K. Dobbins disappointing, and then you got to talk about that Josh Jacobs finished 22 versus 3. As a reminder of what Josh Jacobs did, and to help you think about what you might do with Josh Jacobs this year, Josh Jacobs in 2022 was number 1 in opportunity. He was 2 in rushing attempts, 11 in targets, number 5 in expected points per game. Went over 30 points 3 times, was an RB1 in 53% of games. In drafts this year, I'm seeing him at a fairly palpable spot, going as a low-end RB1, which probably seems fair in light of what he did. Other big misses, you had Elijah Mitchell finishing with a delta of 37. He was going at RB24. Of course, we know that the team bringing in Christian McCaffrey definitely plays a role in this. That is coupled with the fact that Mitchell did miss significant time, so no surprise that we have that disparity there. If we take a look at wide receiver, trying to think about what happened, one of the first deltas that will stand out to you is Deontay Johnson. Like many things in Pittsburgh last year, this did not go as people would have hoped. Curtis and I were pretty high on Deontay Johnson. That offense never really clicking. He really stands out here as a miss. Also, Allen Robinson went with that ADP of 21. People thinking that he could be revitalized, but we already talked about what happened with Matthew Stafford in the Rams offense last year. Just never really clicked, and we saw, unfortunately, that Allen Robinson's days as a significant fantasy contributor behind him. Of course, though, you know, starts his career in 2014, so he did have a good run, even if it has come to an end. Deebo Samuel, if you are looking in the, well, I'll just read down here quickly. So Cooper Kupp was delivering, actually, when he was playing. He's followed by Justin Jefferson, who was going 2, finishes 2. Jamar Chase, not a big delta. Adams, not a delta. Diggs, not a delta. CeeDee Lamb was spot on, more or less. So drafters did good with the first 6 players. Deebo Samuel was going at 7, finishes at 22. We don't see any other major differences until we get down to DJ Moore, who is going 14, finishes 34. One of the interesting things that you find here, I think, as you look at that, or as you look at these results sometimes, is that players that there were significant questions around tended to fail to realize the finish that people were thinking that they could realize. And I think one thing that you're going to see here, and as you dig into numbers like this, it should be known, right? There's a risk reward when you go for some of these players that look to have a lot of upside. Now, maybe DJ Moore and Deontay Johnson are the best examples of that. But my larger point here is you need to be thinking about this benefit risk reward relationship as you're drafting, and sometimes it's okay to take that on. Other players with big deltas: Cortland Sutton went at 19, finished 46, and then Brandon Cooks selected 22, finishes 49. Darnell Mooney, Elijah Moore, other players that stand out. In terms of players that really beat where they were selected, you have Devonta Smith going with an ADP of 35, finishing at 14, and then Tyler Lockett and Christian Kirk, two other players, both going 38 and 39. Lockett finishes at 17, Kirk at 24. So how actionable some of these results are, you can think about that for yourself. I think that what I'm looking to remind you of here is not so much the keys with specific players, but just some of the ways that ADP can tend to be wrong, and that though it is pretty good at getting players filtered more or sorted more or less into the right bucket, we are going to have those misses. I also think it's useful to start thinking about, all right, this year, where is a player being selected? At the end of this season, where do I think this guy is going to be finished? Sometimes we can focus early on in the year, kind of carrying forward the pace that they were on at the end of the prior season. That's really not the way to go about it. One of the things that we will talk about a lot when we are doing drafts, and it's Sean and Curtis and Blair and myself, is at the end of the year, what's our best guess at where this guy is going to feel like? Where do we feel like this guy is going to be at the end of the year, right? Like, if we remove that pace from last year and we really look at the player holistically and we think about the different scenarios that can play out, how often is this guy finishing towards the top of the list? Or is he finishing somewhere far off of where he's being drafted? And these are things that are useful to think about as you contextualize a player in a given year. All right, so let's close here by looking at tight end. Now, tight end, as I mentioned, arguably drafters did the best job with tight end of all the positions. Travis Kelce, 1 and 1. Mark Andrews, 2 versus 4. Then we see Kyle Pitts, the big miss, 3 versus 22. And he is another example of one of those players where there's a lot of questions, and sometimes it gets very hard to answer all of those questions. We knew that about him going in. He's a big miss. Other than him, we can continue all the way down to tight end 12 before we see a difference of more than 5 spots. With Cole Kmet going at 12, finishing at 19. Of course, we did see a nice stretch for Cole Kmet. I forget the exact stretch of the season. We will pull that up now. Yeah, weeks 9 and 10 was a tight end 1. So really, he was stronger in the back half of the year with some good performances. In fact, he was a tight end 1 or tight end 2 every week that he played after week 9. And then had 1 bye week in there in week 14 for Chicago. As we continue our way down the list, Mike Gesicki goes 13 heading into the year, finishes at 32. course, his ADP is drastically different this year with him in New England. No longer a player that I think people are going to be expecting they can use on a week-to-week basis as their tight end one. Irv Smith, 14 versus 24. Hunter Henry, 15 versus 30. Albert O, 18 versus 48. A lot of misses to the negative. The players that did the best job of outperforming where they were expected to go. You had Njoku, 20 before this season, finishing at tight end 9. And then Evan Ingram going at 21, finishing at 7. Okay. So that is a bit of a roundup from 2022. Start thinking about which players you think are going to far outplay their ADP, at least what's out there now, or really miss the mark there. Feel free to shoot some of those over to us, or guys that you think it's worth us running through on air. This is an exercise that Curtis and I will be thinking about routinely as we start getting ready for 2023. Anyway, appreciate you hanging out with me now. Curtis will be back tomorrow, and we will see you then.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.